live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, I am your host, Al Martin, and it is March 31st, 2020. Can you believe that it is the final day of the month? Time is flying, folks. Time is flying, and I hope I can bring a little bit of joy to your day amidst everything that we're going to. I hope everyone is safe out there. Thoughts and prayers to you and yours. Stay inside. Don't leave unless you have to. All right? Well, today's show, we got a few things I want to touch upon because as we are all starving for some sporting action right now, just anything out there. Just give us something. You know, I've been touching on many of us watching video game simulations and throwback games in which we already know the outcomes too. There was something that certainly got me quite excited when the news broke yesterday, because I have been waiting for this docuseries for a long time. You know, I flipped my wig and went insane in the membrane when the trailer dropped. And I had that same reaction when it was announced that this thing was being put together from the get-go. And, you know, there have been talks out there about this docuseries being put out ahead of schedule due to the lack of sports right now and just how ideal of a time this would be for this docuseries to come out. But what I'm talking about is the Michael Jordan series on ESPN entitled The Last Dance, which has now been moved up. And it makes total sense because, again, right now all of us are starving for some kind of sports in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And we all know Michael Jordan, in the eyes of most, Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. And this documentary, I mean, we're talking a 10-part series, folks. A 10-part series. This documentary has footage that no one has seen other than a few people, I guess, who put together the documentary. But it's unseen footage of a camera crew that got unprecedented access to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. That is a team. You know, anybody who knows me knows that I have two individuals who are my heroes, who I idolized growing up, who I try to be like and still try to be like in many different ways. And those two people are the great Bruce Lee, the late great Bruce Lee, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You know, growing up and playing basketball at Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, and playing on the streets of the West Side, I tried to, just like the Gatorade commercial says, I tried to be like Mike. I tried to have the sagging shorts, chewing gum every time I was out there on the court. When I drove to the lane, I tried to stick my tongue out like Mike. I worked on my fadeaway to try and be like Mike. And there are so many kids out there who did that, who grew up in the 90s, who did that, who were inspired by Michael Jordan. And now we get unprecedented access to this documentary that has now been moved up, and this couldn't come at a better time right now with everything that we're going through. So I want to talk about that documentary, and I want to talk about why. I want to further elaborate on why it's so appealing, all right? Also, the NCAA has made a move concerning eligibility due to the NCAA shutting down college sports because of the coronavirus outbreak. Of course, the most dramatic cancellation was March Madness, not having men's college basketball this month. Certainly weird, certainly different, certainly disappointing. So the NCAA has been looking at things and really asking itself, okay, what would be fair here? Athletes who have had seasons cut short or canceled, what would be a way in which we could honor what they've given their respective schools and what they've given the NCAA? So they've made a statement concerning that, and they'll be putting that into effect. I'll give you the details in just a moment on that. And then on the back end of the show, I will tell you how the National Basketball Association, how the NBA is pondering an idea on how it would close out the season or continue the season amid the coronavirus pandemic, and whether or not it's ideal and how weird it would be. I'll touch on that and so much more on, again, this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. The way you can weigh in, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can only text that number. Do not call that number. No one will pick up. You can only text that number to weigh in. Also, you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment there. And you know what? Because it's so different right now, and I've been doing the show from the crib, you guys can also weigh in by even emailing me. I really don't put my email. I've only done it probably like a handful of times throughout my time here at WKAR's Current Sports. But because I can't talk to you guys on the air, you know, I can only read comments and have you guys weigh in via social media, you know, why not email me as well? I check my email probably more so than I do my social media sites, to be honest with you all. So if you want to email me at almartin@wkar, again, that's almartin@wkar.org. So almartin@wkar.org. And I'll do my best to get to your comments, you know, with everything going on in the show, being at a, you know, in a different format and me doing it from the crib. You know, it's kind of hard for me to get to comments sometimes because I'm a one-man show at this point, right? And there's no Jack or Alec or Connor manning the ship. It's just little old me, all right? So I'm going to have to find a way to compile all your comments and just kind of comb through them, and you'll get my reaction from them. But I promise you, I will get to your comments, okay? Just you can weigh in that way. And I'll be sure to address those comments at some point. All right. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this, again, March 31. All right, let's start here, current sports fans. College athletes who had their 2020 seasons canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic will now have a year of eligibility restored by the NCAA. Now, the NCAA Division I Council, which consists of 40 administrators across all of the Division I conferences, voted on the matter yesterday and concluded that athletes in spring sports should be granted an additional year to participate. Now, the sports impacted include baseball, softball, lacrosse, tennis, golf, track, and others. However, the winter sport athletes who had their seasons cut short, like men's college basketball, those players are unable to participate in postseason tournaments, will not be granted an additional year. And that's kind of what I figured, because the college basketball regular season was in the books and we were turning our attention to the postseason, you know, which for many teams out there could be done completely, or, you know, you may have a short run. Most teams will have a short run in the Big Dance, you know, and I feel you got to feel for the big time programs who possibly had a chance of going pretty far in the Big Dance and possibly going to a Final Four, possibly winning a national championship. And we all know about how special the Big Dance is. But at the end of the day, you know, at least 80-90% of the season was finito. So, you know, when it comes to college basketball, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, I kind of figured that the NCAA wouldn't grant those players an extra year of eligibility. It's just kind of heightened. The emotion is heightened simply because March is when we talk about the Big Dance and the tournament. So, but this is a good thing. You know, when you have a full season postponed where you're not playing really any games like that of baseball, softball, lacrosse, tennis, golf, track. I mean, those are seasons that really didn't get underway. They couldn't really compete. So totally understand where the NCAA is coming from there. All right, we'll have more on that in just a moment. Michigan basketball forward Isaiah Livers is applying for early entry into the NBA draft. The school said that Livers is not hiring an agent, and he will work with the Michigan basketball coaching staff during the evaluation and the pre-draft processes. Now, even if a player does use an agent during the evaluation process, again, with this new rule, that said player can still return to school without losing eligibility if he ends the relationship with the agent. Now, Livers said he'd be fine coming back to Michigan, but he figured all along he'd test the waters after this season. So, again, just testing the waters. This is not, you know, an official thing where Isaiah Livers, his possibility of returning to Ann Arbor and playing under Juwan Howard for another season is totally out the window. He's just testing the waters, just seeing what kind of evaluation he gets from NBA personnel, and then he's going to weigh things from there. It's kind of like what Xavier Tillman is doing. You know, even though he put out on his Twitter page that big graphic and, you know, the big letter to Spartan fans, you know, it's not an official goodbye until he does make the permanent decision to keep his name past the deadline to stay in the NBA draft. Then we can start talking about goodbyes. But right now, Isaiah Livers is opening the door for both avenues here, just like Xavier Tillman. Now, Livers has started 46 games in three seasons at Michigan. He led the Wolverines in scoring this season at 12.9 points per game, although he was limited to 21 games because of injury problems. But we all know when Isaiah Livers came back, I mean, he was a big factor in many of those Michigan wins once he got back on the hardwood. He is an important, important piece to Juwan Howard's team. So we'll see what happens there. We'll be following that one closely. The Michigan Attorney General's Office has asked to review the criminal investigation into a sexual assault complaint against a MSU basketball player, according to a university official. Michigan State University Police Department Captain Doug Monetti confirmed the investigation involved redshirt sophomore Brock Washington and said his office provided the file to the AG. Now, AG spokesperson Kelly Roseman McKinney said an assistant attorney general received an inquiry about looking into the case, but has made no decisions or recommendations. She said because of the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak, it'll likely be a few weeks before the legal team can review the case. Now, the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office declined to file charges against Washington because the case did not meet the burden of proof needed to try it in front of a jury. And Prosecutor Carol Simon said that in an email statement. So Brock Washington, it looks as though the Attorney General's office is going to review this investigation into Brock Washington, and we'll just have to see what comes of it. But, you know, you all remember when it was reported. I remember seeing it from ESPN's Paula Levine when it was reported that Brock Washington was being accused in some kind of possible sexual assault. That allegation was out there. So we'll see what happens with this latest development in that story. All right, Detroit Lions wide receiver Marvin Jones. He has declared a pretty big goal for the 2020 year, including an Instagram, an Instagram live conversation over the weekend. This is what Jones said on his Instagram live. Quote, I want to lead the league in. I want over 15 touchdowns. Forget 10. I've already had 10. I want 15. I want 1,400 yards. Just stuff like that drives me, and every time I step on that line, I'm going on year 9. But every time I step on that line, it just fuels me to be great. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's some positive news for Detroit Lions fans out there. A guy who wants to compete, that's a pretty in-your-face quote. You know, every time I step on that line, it just fuels me to be great, and I want 15 touchdowns. That's a young man who is motivated. But, you know, when it comes to Marvin Jones now, I mean, again, yeah, he's going on year 9, so I don't think I can call him a young man in the NFL anymore. But, you know, you got to love this quote. You know, with everything that goes on when it comes to being a member of the Detroit Lions, I mean, it's the Detroit Lions, folks. They have not won a Super Bowl ever. They struggle every single year. They are the reason why, even though I'm born and bred in Detroit, they are the reason why I'm not a Lions fan. Even though I'm from Detroit, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan because that was the second team that my dad rooted for. So we all know about the Detroit Lions franchise, but I love hearing quotes like this that come from players just wanting to compete and set high goals and have big aspirations, because I'm the same way in my everyday. So despite missing 3 games and playing with backup quarterbacks the second half of the season, Jones put up 9 touchdowns and 779 yards in 2019. Now, 4 of his touchdowns came in 1 game against Minnesota, the second time he's accomplished the feat in his career. He earned 10 TD catches back in 2013 when he was a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. So go get him, Marvin. Hopefully he does meet that goal. That would be great. If Marvin Jones gets 15 touchdowns for you guys, best believe at least the offense is humming. I would guess that. All right? Okay. This is cool stuff. Again, you know, I've been touching on how we are all starving to watch sports as sports fans. You know, for me, I'm starving to watch, like, live sports. Okay? Not the throwbacks. I can only watch so many throwbacks unless it's like Michael Jordan or this other guy, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is in our headliners for this, because Phil Mickelson, he said on Sunday that him and Tiger Woods are, quote, working on, end quote, a rematch of their one-on-one in hopes of giving quarantined sports fans something to watch during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Mickelson replied to a fan who asked whether he and Woods would be willing to put on a show with one camera guy mic'd up. The fan added, "We need live." And then Mickelson replied, quote, "working on it." He also said that it was not a tease, that this is something that him and Tiger Woods have talked about doing, because we are all starving for something. I mean, the Masters being postponed. I mean, the Masters, folks. A tradition unlike any other. So I'm starving for golf. I'm starving for college basketball. So Mickelson and Woods, if you remember, and I actually bought this, my stepdad and I, we ordered during Thanksgiving weekend, we ordered the match. Remember the match in Las Vegas 2 years ago in 2018, in which Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, they went into a playoff round going against each other. It was Mickelson and Woods. They were mic'd up. I believe it was Showtime that actually aired it, Showtime pay-per-view. And, you know, I think people got their money back, though. I don't know. I forget the reasons why people got their money back. Gosh, I cannot remember why, but you know, people bought it, and I watched it because I love watching those two play, and I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. You know, probably next to Tiger Woods. I mean, excuse me, right next to Bruce Lee and Michael Jordan, as I mentioned. You know, Tiger Woods is in that conversation too when it comes to athletes and personalities that I just idolize, man. So, but those two went into a playoff during the match. and Mickelson won and claimed $9 million. It was a first-time thing in which a golf match was ever featured on pay-per-view. So hopefully Mickelson and Woods can get that done. Again, do it safely. Get that done, though, so we can watch some golf, some kind of golf on television. All right, Shaquille O'Neal is playing some defense while the NBA season remains suspended. The Hall of Fame center attempted to clarify his brief appearance on the popular Netflix documentary Tiger King. If you have not seen Tiger King, please watch it. I flew through it in one night. It was unbelievable. It's a docuseries that is, it's hard to describe. Just check it out, all right? But Shaq was on Tiger King saying that while he loves big cats, he had, quote, no idea what was going on at the Oklahoma ranch owned by Joseph Maladona Passage, who is now the now-imprisoned title character known as Joe Exotic. He was a tiger trainer. Joe Exotic was a tiger trainer, got into a lot of bad things when he was a tiger trainer at this particular ranch. Shaquille O'Neal, though, he appeared in the opening episode of the seven-part series. Video showed him touring the zoo, taking pictures with the animals, and then cut to him referencing the visit the next night while on, you know, the NBA broadcast inside the NBA on TNT saying, quote, shout out to Exotic Joe, and I got two more tigers, end quote. Joe Exotic was sentenced to 22 years in prison in January after he was found guilty on multiple charges, including murder, plot for a hire, and illegally selling tiger cubs. So O'Neal, during a recent episode of the Big Podcast with Shaq, he explained his appearance. Quote, so we go in there, and it's a beautiful place, and the character that was there, Exotic Joe, we're there and I drop some donations for the tigers, foods and all of that. We take pictures with the tigers. We went back a couple times, then we go back another time and we found out that he's involved with all of this stuff, and then I actually stopped going, end quote. So Shaq said that once he found out about the not too good things that Joe Exotic was involved in, he stopped attending Joe Exotic's ranch. But it's a wild documentary. Again, I know many of you are quarantined up at home trying to look for things to watch. I am telling you, Tiger King is number one, the most streamed thing on Netflix right now for a reason. You will be hooked. It's a documentary that is weird, gripping, entertaining. You got to check it out. It's really, really hard to describe it. But Shaquille O'Neal, again, making this this appearance on there, he is defending himself. All right, and speaking of the NBA is determined right now to salvage what they can of the 2019-2020 year. That includes drastically adjusting the playoff schedule per Mark Berman of the New York Post. Among proposals being considered are a best-of-three playoff series. The NBA has all but rejected a single-game elimination tournament. That would only be considered as a last resort, per Berman. One of the proposals on the table is gathering the entire league in one site to conclude the season. The proposal would involve playing games without fans present. How weird would that be? We saw a little bit of that when it came to the NCAA debating that and actually following through with a couple of games before respective conference tournaments were just canceled. So, again, they're kicking around that idea of playing the contest without fans present, but televising the contest. So that would involve a 5-7 game regular season followed by the playoffs. So I'll be touching on that more later on this hour. I really do believe we're at a point now where we'll take anything. Anything that the sports world can give us right now, we will take it, eat it up at every moment. So, and last but certainly not least, a star-studded group of more than 100 athletes and sports figures from around the world is offering signed jerseys, golf clubs, and even doling out fantasy advice in an effort to raise money and combat the coronavirus outbreak. The items are being gifted to support the, quote, Athletes for COVID-19 Relief auction that raises money for the Center for Disaster Philanthropy's COVID-19 Response Fund. A $25 donation can net the winner a Stephen Curry signed jersey, a leotard signed by Simone Biles, a skateboard signed by the great Tony Hawk, or a football signed by Gronk. That's right, Rob Gronkowski. Other sports figures donating signed gear do include Jack Nicklaus, the great one, Michael Phelps, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Rory McIlroy, David Ortiz, Big Papi, Trey Young, Elena Deladon, CP3, Chris Paul, and also Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. So this is just an awesome way that athletes are trying to chip in and do what they can to help out what we're going through as a society, as a world right now. So that is awesome, awesome stuff. Salute to those athletes. All right. And I really hope you all are being safe and trying to find a routine that works for you when it comes to staying inside and staying quarantined as we try so desperately to get through this pandemic. All right. Okay, those are your quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll talk about the Last Dance documentary profiling the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and the Chicago Bulls of the 90s, and just why I'm so happy that's being released early. Also, I'll touch on the NCAA granting eligibility to those who had their sports really just completely cut. Because let's be real, when it came to the spring sports, they didn't really even get started. So I'll touch on that and more. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, thank you so much for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. The Last Dance is premiering early. If you don't know what The Last Dance is, it is the Michael Jordan documentary that will be a 10-part series taking a look, an in-depth look, at the Chicago Bulls dynasty through the lens of actually the final championship in 1997, 1998. Because the Chicago Bulls, during that year, allowed an NBA entertainment crew to follow them around for that entire season. And it has some never-before-seen footage that is in the documentary. Now, this was announced, I saw it this morning, but apparently it was announced yesterday that the 10-part series, which was set to actually premiere in June, will now be moved to April. It will begin on actually April 19th is when we will see that documentary. And it wasn't announced last night, because I'm reading here that actually it was announced on Good Morning America today in response to fans asking for more programming, because sports are basically at a standstill, on hold. And, you know, the series actually will be available outside the United States on Netflix. So the world will be able to see this documentary. And it is getting so much reaction on social media. It's one of the most talked about things on social media right now. I saw a video posted on Instagram in which, because Richard Jefferson, he has been very active. Richard Jefferson, former NBA player, now an analyst. NBA basketball analyst on ESPN, RJ is what a lot of people call him. He has been very active on social media, going live with different players and different athletes that he knows, and talking about how they're holding up amidst the coronavirus pandemic and what are they doing to stay productive during this time staying at home. And he actually FaceTimed LeBron James. It was either a FaceTime, I believe it was an Instagram live that he posted. But anyway, he goes live with LeBron James. And at one point, RJ says, you know what? They need to release that Michael Jordan documentary. You need to push it up because we're all starving right now. And then LeBron James basically co-signs it and says, oh my gosh, that thing would get crazy, crazy views. And then the video, because it's an edited video that takes that snippet and then starts throwing in all of these tweets from everybody out there who are thinking the exact same thing, like, please, please, please release this documentary. We need to see this. And I'm excited for on so many different levels because of it, because as many of you know, many of you longtime listeners know, I am such a huge fan of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls because they meant so much to my childhood growing up. You know, I had two nicknames when I was growing up. Anytime I hit the streets on the west side of Detroit to play some pickup ball at St. Suzanne, or you know how old school when you roll out your portable basketball goal and you roll it out into the street and you play like a 3-on-3 game, or you play 21. You know, that's all we did growing up. I mean, those memories still come to mind, and they really come to mind now when I'm thinking about it as I talk to you all. You know, those are so ingrained in my mind and such a big part of my childhood. But when I was growing up, you know, the guy who introduced me to the greatness of Michael Jordan is my stepdad. And, you know, I remember him bringing over the VHS tapes, and I still have them. As I am in my apartment right now, I am staring at those VHS tapes to my right. And I do have them on DVD right now. My former engineer, actually, Isaac Constance, I let him borrow the DVDs, and I have not gotten them back. That reminds me, I need to call Isaac and tell him to ship that thing to me ASAP. But yeah, as I look to my right, they are the VHS tapes of Michael Jordan's highlight films. And because Michael Jordan, he produced, a lot of people don't know this, Michael Jordan produced like 3 or 4 highlight tapes that detailed his killer instinct and his drive and how he approaches the game and so on and so forth. And they were pretty well-produced tapes. But my stepdad had them on VHS, has them on VHS, and I basically kind of like deboed them. Deboed them means just basically you just take them, haven't given them back. Like you ever watch the movie Friday. For those that don't know what deboing means, watch the movie Friday. It's a regular term in my community. All right. but anyway, yeah, those VHS tapes, you know, when he popped in, you know, these tapes like Come Fly With Me, that was his first one. Come Fly With Me. An amazing, amazing highlight reel with all of these different athletes talking about Michael Jordan's greatness while he's still in the league, giving them the business. Magic Johnson's on the documentary, sitting down talking about Jordan's greatness. Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Larry Bird. I mean, all of these greats are talking about Michael Jordan and just how great he is. You know, Chris Mullin, all these guys. It's an amazing piece. And then you can pop in from there. You can pop in Airtime. Then you can pop in Playground. I mean, these are all, look them up. If you don't believe me, look up Michael Jordan, Come Fly With Me. Michael Jordan, Playtime. Michael Jordan, Airtime. I mean, these are Playground, excuse me, and then Airtime. These are all documentaries that Michael put together when he was still a player. And to hear other greats talk about this dude, it's just jaw-dropping. But when I saw those documentaries from my stepdad, we all watched them, you know, we watched all of them one night. I was hooked, man. I became a Michael Jordan nut. Everything was Michael Jordan. I mean, I went out and got his high school jersey. I tried to walk, talk, play like him. I tried to literally be like Mike. And, you know, looking at his killer instinct, that is something that I really adopted from Mike. You know, that competitiveness. You know, I'm so competitive. And a lot of that has to do with watching Michael Jordan on those tapes and in his career, just how cutthroat he was. You know, we talk about the late great Kobe Bryant and that Mamba mentality, right? Well, that Mamba mentality had a lot to do with watching Michael Jordan be as cutthroat as he was, be as competitive as he was. It is truly amazing, man. So, you know, when this was announced that they were moving it up, I said, oh my goodness. You know, I looked at it and saw the trailer. When I saw that trailer, you know, some clips that I've never seen before, you know, just teasing that trailer. And then, you know, it opens up with Mike saying that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I had one goal. and that goal was winning. Period. That's all Mike cared about. Winning. Doing whatever it takes to win. And that's just how competitive Mike was. Man, I think in certain ways we have lost that with today's generation of basketball players. You know, I'm not trying to come at them and sit there and say that, oh man, this generation is not as competitive as the generation in years past, even though I do believe that. But it was a different level with Mike. He wanted to compete in everything. I mean, the dunk contest, you know, whether it was playing cards with his teammates, dominoes, all of that stuff. You know, Mike was a competitor. And I do believe that a lot of that competitiveness from back in the day, and other athletes as well, man, were like that. Mike took it to a different level, but, you know, all of the stars were like that. They wanted to not just beat you, but they wanted to embarrass you. So, you know, this was something that, you know, you look at and say to yourself, wow, we get an inside look into his mindset like that. And, you know, the other point I want to make is that this is so intriguing because now, you know, there's a reason why so many people look at Michael Jeffrey Jordan as that guy, as the GOAT, as the greatest player to ever do it. There's a reason why. I know what that reason is because, again, I was born in the 90s and went through that, and I got a chance to see, you know, some of Mike's greatness, even though I was really, really young, more so on the back end of that three-peat, you know, when he won and, you know, came back, played baseball, and then came back and won those other three, culminating with the 1998, NBA Finals. You know, I was 7, 8 years old, and, you know, that was a long time for me. But, you know, I did get a chance to see a little bit of it, but I was educated by, you know, really my stepdad. He's the big one that really educated me on MJ. So, you know, a lot of people in Gen Z just don't know about Mike. They just know LeBron, 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 and Kobe. Kobe raised them, and then LeBron took over. And those are the two guys they notoriously always bring up. But, you know, Michael Jordan, it's still amazing that still universally today, Michael Jordan is still looked at as the greatest basketball player to ever do it. And there are some out there that would say that he's the greatest athlete to ever do it. So this generation, I'm excited because this generation will get a firsthand look at why he was looked at as the GOAT. Why people look at Michael Jordan as being the bar, the standard that you have to reach and try to surpass if you want to be considered the greatest of all time. Because even though LeBron James, you know, with all of his accomplishments, all of the records broken, even though he is the guy right now, there's a reason why many people, more people than not, still why Michael Jordan is considered to be the GOAT. So I can't wait to check it out. This is what ESPN said in a statement when it comes to why they decided to move this up to April. Again, mark this on your calendar. It's already on mine. April 19th will be the first part of this 10-part series. ESPN said, quote, "As society navigates this time without live sports, viewers are still looking to the sports world to escape and enjoy a collective experience. We've heard the calls from fans asking us to move up the release date for this series, and we are happy to announce that we've been able to accelerate the production schedule to do just that. This project celebrates one of the greatest players in dynasties ever, and we hope it can serve as a unifying entertainment experience to fill the role that sports often play in our lives, telling a story that will captivate everyone, not just sports fans." So again, The Last Dance in April. Can't wait for it. Can't wait to check it out. So, all right. I do want to touch on this before we hit our final break. The NCAA has, as we all know, has shut down college sports. They shut down college sports earlier this month because of the coronavirus outbreak. And, you know, we all know that the biggest cancellation was March Madness. Not having the big dance really, really hurt. You know, the wildly popular men's and women's D1 basketball tournaments. But thousands of athletes in less prominent spring sports, you know, like baseball, lacrosse, golf, those seasons ended as well. And those seasons really didn't get a chance to even get started. But now they will get another chance. Because on Monday, the NCAA's Division I Council voted to let schools offer spring sport athletes an extra year of eligibility so they can play an extra season. So obviously the impact is greatest on graduating seniors, but this decision applies to all athletes whose spring seasons were interrupted by the outbreak. They will have that opportunity to have their lost season restored, which is unbelievably cool. Because, you know, we talk a lot about the big sports like college basketball and college football, right? But those aren't spring sports. Those are, you know, fall sports, you know, winter sports. And even though those rack in a lot of revenue, I mean, the college football season was said in finito in December. The college basketball season began, you know, like November-ish. You know, I think exhibitions were actually, you know, sometimes you see them in like late October or something like that. But they started before, you know, 2019 ended. And, you know, we got through the entire regular season, you know, to bring it on home. Michigan State, you know, who would have thought, man? That final regular season game in which they won a share of the Big Ten championship at home, Cassius Winston, his swan song, waving to the crowd, final year and final game at the Breslin Center. But so the regular seasons were in the books. We all knew who the conference champions were, and we were revving up for the conference tournaments. And that's when everything got canceled and delayed. But most of the season was already played. But for those who play spring sports, I mean, your season didn't even get started. So I think this is the right decision. And I've, you know, people ask me whether or not, yeah, it would be cool if college basketball athletes, especially those seniors, you know, got the opportunity to have an extra year of eligibility and have a, you know, another chance at March Madness and the Big Dance. But, you know, most of the season was played. It's a no-brainer for me, for those who didn't even have really a season at all, those spring sports, it's a no-brainer for them to at least have an opportunity to have an extra year of eligibility. So, again, winter sports were not included in the decision because those seasons were, the regular seasons were finished. So, you know, that means that all those basketball players will forever wonder, how weird is that going to be? We're going to constantly talk about the year 2020, we're going to constantly talk about what could have been for many different athletes, for many different teams, looking back. You know, and for Izzo, you know, Tom Izzo, head coach of MSU men's basketball, I mean, searching for that oh-so-coveted second national championship, right? I mean, was this opportunity and was it just snatched away from his hands? Because this was a team that was clicking, which usually happens with Tom Izzo teams, but I'm just saying that is something that's going to be debated, at least. So the council earlier said it supported eligibility relief for spring athletes, but it had to work out many of the details before making an official statement. And some of the details include financial aid rules were adjusted to allow teams to carry more athletes on scholarship, expanding the limit to include those who return. Schools won't have to offer the same level of scholarship to returning senior athletes as they had this season, but schools can draw on the NCAA's student assistance fund to help pay for athletes who take advantage of this extra eligibility. And also an athlete can come back for another season and transfer to another school. But any scholarship they get at the new school would count against that team's limit. So now some details still have to be ironed out. You know, like if a senior graduates this year and wants to come back for another year of sports? What are really the academic requirements? You know, that's one of the questions that are being asked right now. So there's still some details to be ironed out here, but, you know, this is going to be in play. And I think it is fair. It certainly is fair. So, you know, it's awesome for those athletes who had who play in the spring and just did not even have a season. But again, the other dynamic to that is, again, you know, college basketball players, we are going to be, because that's the biggest revenue streamer when it comes to NCAA sports, right? College football, college basketball rule, and especially tournament time. I mean, the amount of money that they rake in, due to, you know, the TV contracts and all of the eyeballs on the tournament and just the hoopla that it is now gone. And gosh, it would have been so fun just to see it. You know, it's always fun to see the tournament. Okay, folks, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on today's current sports by touching on how the NBA is trying to figure out, okay, what is an alternative here? How can we play out the rest of this season? And whether or not it's the right move or not. So we'll talk about that and more. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got 5 minutes left here in the hour, and I want to hit the NBA rumor mill right now because this is pretty interesting. According to Mark Berman of the New York Post, the NBA is trying to figure out a way to salvage what they can of the 2019-2020 NBA year. And that does include drastically adjusting the playoff schedule. So among proposals being considered are a best of three playoff series. And it seems as though the NBA has all but rejected a single game elimination tournament. That won't happen. That's not going to happen. You know, trying to bring a March Madness kind of feel to the NBA just wouldn't feel right. And according to Berman, that would only be considered as really a last resort. And one of the proposals on the table is gathering the entire league on one site to conclude the season, because as we all know, you want to be cautious, you want to be safe, you don't want to take any chances here with the coronavirus pandemic. So you want to make sure that you are doing whatever is necessary to ensure that health is being put number one. So you hold the, they're saying that they will hold it at one site. The proposal would include playing games without fans present, which totally makes sense. I mean, we are in a world of social distancing right now. We don't need people gathering in large crowds and further spreading the coronavirus to one another. And they would televise the contest. So no fans. We would televise the contest. It would be at one site. And that would involve a 5 to 7 game regular season, I'm guessing, to get the players back in a groove of playing. You know, I'm just wondering how many athletes are sitting at home right now so uber comfortable because they have been playing their respective sports all their lives. They've never had a break like this. Never had a break like this. I mean, when you are a professional athlete, it is really a 24-hour kind of thing where you're staying in shape, and you may get a few months of vacation, but nothing like this. I mean, this coronavirus cancellation when it comes to sports could last September, October, who knows, maybe the whole year. So how, you know, athletes, I'm sure there are many athletes out there that are struggling to stay in shape. So they would have a 5 to 7 game regular season to get the players back in a groove, and then you would have the playoffs. Sites rumored to be under consideration are Las Vegas, Orlando, Hawaii, Atlantic City, Louisville, and the Bahamas. Any site would have to have basketball facilities as well as plenty of room to house the teams in a closed environment. And one league official was quoted by Berman saying that nothing is off the table. Quote, nothing is off the table. And another told Berman that, quote, they are very determined to have a champion. So the NBA is trying to figure out a way to make sure this happens, to have a season. Because of time, we only have a minute left. Because of time, I am going to dive more into that tomorrow, just how weird it would be to have the NBA season come down to this. No fans, you know, a best of three playoff series, 5-7 game regular season, and just playing at one site. I have further thoughts on that tomorrow, but thank you so much for rocking out with me, guys, on this Tuesday edition of the show. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.